Welcome back in. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 560, and very excited to talk to our next guest, the great Ricky Williams. Ricky, I apologize off the bat. I don't know where Leroy is. I imagine he is ducking you because of Michigan-Texas this week. He already got the business from Eric Metcalf, so I imagine that's he's just had enough chirping for 1 week.
Yeah, I bet. I get it. I totally get it.
What how excited are you about Texas right now, where the state of the program is at?
No, I'm excited about a lot of the teams that I played for. I mean, I'm excited about the Dolphins, definitely excited about Texas. And, you know, I got a chance to know Sark a little bit, and he really cares about the guys. He really cares about the program, and he knows football. And so I'm just excited to have him on on our sidelines. And I love what he's doing for the program. You know, one of my things with college football, especially, I think with NIL, it becomes really difficult at a university to create culture. And I think nobody is doing it better than Texas right now.
Did you mentioned Sark. Have you gotten a chance at all? I don't know how much time you've gotten around the Dolphins or whatnot, but have you gotten a chance at all to interact with Mike McDaniel?
I haven't. You know, I feel like if we did interact, you know, I'd probably ask him for a job. So, I'm kind of avoiding that conversation just because I have this fantasy about, like, coaches making football fun again, you know, and I can tell by watching the Dolphins play that that's what he's done.
Yeah, I feel like you guys would hit it off tremendously just because he seems very authentically himself. His players really seem to enjoy playing that style. So I had wondered, like, would you have liked to play for somebody of his style?
Hell yeah, it would have been a dream come true. And I think also there's a style of how someone, you know, the offense or the scheme, but there's also a style in the way that people coach. You know, and I can tell he really cares and he really desires to know who his players actually are, because he knows that's one of the best ways to get the most out of them. And it's cool. I get, to me, coaches that care, that's the most important thing in the world.
How much, like, does it interest you at all to get around the Dolphins organization? Like, just would you welcome something like that? I know, I'm sure a lot of the fans would love if you ever did like an appearance at the game or anything like that. But how much interest do you have in doing something like that?
You know, I kind of joked about it, but I'm kind of being serious. Is that if I get too close to the game, I do feel I'll get sucked back in, you know? Because it's so much a part of who I am, and I can see how much value I could add to a team I'll dip my foot in, but I try not to get too close because it'll activate my imagination.
Do you imagine, like, is the imagination when you have, like, is it coaching? Is it just organization? Coaching.
It's coaching, yeah. You know, just to me, like, what made me a great player was my mental attitude and how I approached things on a day-to-day basis, you know? And so I think as a coach, because you are guiding the guys through that day-to-day process, is where you have the ability to offer the most value. Because I play the game at such a high level, you know, and I have ability to understand how different people's minds work, you know, I could be very helpful to an organization in getting the most out of their players. And when I say the most, an example, and it is kind of tooting my own horn, but I'm okay with that. So I coached for one semester at a college in San Antonio called University of the Incarnate Word, right? And I got in there and we had three freshman backs that were pretty good. And I loved working with them, you know? And all of them broke records, all of them. So when I say when I say getting the best out of the players, at least in the collegiate level, my version of getting the best out of me was a lot of breaking records. And I see the small stint I had coaching, the kids I coached, they broke records.
That's really cool. Yeah, I could understand, like, if you dipped your toe in and it was right away, like, I could understand, like, why you want to get back into it. And so that's an interesting barrier that you feel like you'd get sucked in too much.
Yeah, if I get sucked in, you know, I've realized I have a lot to offer, but then the question is it worth it, you know? Because for me, just the way I am, the ups and downs, oh man. That's why I'd have to be the head coach, right? Because, you know, if I'm driving the ship right, I can help navigate the ups and downs, but if someone else is driving the ship, it's tough, you know? And the nature of football is there's going to be ups and downs. I think that's why we love it so much, you know, to see our team take a punch, you know, rebound and gain the momentum and come out victorious.
So the Dolphins have a big matchup this week against the Buffalo Bills, who have kind of kicked their ass for a lot of games in a row. I have been joking on the show, but I'm kind of half serious. This feels like a week two statement game. Like, I feel like when you get drubbed by a team that many times in a row, if it's going to be a new season, Ricky, and a new feel for them, I really feel like this one's important. Do you buy into that this could be a week two statement game for the team?
Yeah. So my first year in Miami, 2002, it was week three. Okay. But week three, the Jets came into town. And similar, I think the Jets had beat the Dolphins like 7 out of the last 8 years or something like that. And we beat them, you know. And I had a big like 50-yard run to kind of seal the victory. And it was like a symbol of a change, you know, of a different era in Dolphins football. And we were dominant that year. So these statement games are important because, you know, at this point after the past couple of years, the Dolphins can be considered, you know, a strong favorite to go to the playoffs, right? But the big question mark is how deep can they go in the playoffs, right? And there's a question mark because they have to show improvement. And I think a statement game like that builds the confidence and shows that they're on track to have a different result at the end of the season.
Do you feel like, did you buy into that, like watching them at all, like that they need to get more physical? Like, they talked about this idea of like a bring in a bully mentality this year, and a lot of the players were talking about that in camp. Do you feel like that's something that needs to get set, you know, right from the jump of the season? Can that change?
It has to get set. I mean, it's like anything. If you're growing something in a garden, you got to make sure those first couple of weeks that the seed takes root. And so it's one thing to talk in the off season, you know, to prepare the soil, but when the season starts, right, the weather starts, and if it's not strong enough, it'll be washed away. And we'll get to see, was it just talk, right? Or did they really embody it in the way they practice?
Well, look who decided to show up. I thought he was ducking you, Ricky, because of this weekend. I thought he was ducking you because of Michigan, Texas.
Hey, Ricky, I went with Eric Metcalf.
Yeah.
We went to the game.
Oh, you guys went to the game.
Yeah. So we went to the Cleveland game because we played together in Cleveland.
Yeah.
We've been talking trash about this game for 30 years. So we went to the game. Man, he wouldn't stop. So we driving back because we got to drive back to Cleveland. It's like 2.5-hour drive. He looks at his phone. He said, "You know what? I ain't going to talk about it no more." I say, "Good. Thank you." He said, "I'm going to call my boy up and put it on speaker." So for 2.5 hours, they just, they got boat race. Because you know what? I said it last week. They look a little sketchy against Fresno State. They look like they got pushed around a little bit. And then when Texas went on the field, I was like, ooh, those some big boys.
Yeah, exactly. So how early in the game did you know it was done?
When you see, and you can tell me if you feel this way, you ever look at a football game and you see the skill players running away from the dudes you thought were your skill players?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my goodness. Because, you know, you guys had that running back. What's his name? Blue.
Blue, yeah.
And he ran around the edge. And I was like, whoa, wait. I thought whoa. And then they had, like, 5 number twos. They got a number two on defense and number two on offense. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness. It was a long day. And the quarterback, you know, Michigan's quarterback wasn't that good. But y'all look like y'all gonna have a quarterback for the next few years because, you know, they begging for Arch to get in and play. And every time he get in and play, he light it up.
Yeah. Sark's doing a good job. He's doing a really good job.
He's bringing like a kind of a SEC style of game to a conference that's never played that physical.
Yeah.
And now he's in the SEC, and I could see it when he played Michigan. Like, I always thought okay, we're going to see when we play Texas if they ready to play big boy football, because, you know, they've never had to be very physical. But no, that they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this. I've been mentioning this about, and I say this all the time. When you get ready for a football season, okay, there's certain things you have to go through. There's, you know, you got to get hit. You got to have people pulling at the football. You got to have one live pass protection. You got to be able to run a route with a guy pulling on you or whatever. And I think the way preseasons go now, a lot of these guys are doing it in the first couple of weeks. So you see running backs that's running like they ain't been hit yet. So they ain't running with the same type of aggression. And you got linebackers who aren't tackling. And it's just looking real sloppy throughout the NFL. And I don't know why I feel like I'm the only one that see this, because they got to be coaches that feel this way too. And I don't know why they don't do nothing about it. What was your process? Because I knew I had to get about 5 to 10 carries in a preseason in a row, like 3 or 4 here, 3 and 4 there, just so I could get, you know, my breathing down, my contact, how to avoid contact, you know, just all those things. What was your process when you say, okay, I'm ready for the season?
I mean, you know, it was a little bit more physical when you played, you know, even more so than when I played in practice. But I just practiced really, really hard.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to say that practice reps and game reps are the same, but most of the time with me, it was me fighting with the coach to get more touches in the preseason. And, you know, if we're going to go all the way back in Miami, my first preseason game, when I played for the Saints, we played against the Dolphins, and I got a high ankle sprain. And Jason Taylor fell on my ankle, and I had a high ankle sprain. And it really kind of ruined my whole rookie season. So, you know, for me, in regards to preseason, it was always like, I need my touches. I need to get in that rhythm. I need to get in that rhythm. But I just tried to practice hard to get over that. And then I'm thinking now about in college, we didn't have a preseason. You know, in college
look who you played your first couple of weeks.
That's true. That was like the preseason. It's true. It was like the preseason.
Right.
It was. But it was touches. That's what I'm saying. It was
right.
Touches against a lesser opponent, so it was easy to kind of get into that rhythm. Right. And the idea of the NFL is almost different, because you go through the preseason, but you know week one, they're going to have stuff that you haven't seen.
Right.
You know, they had a whole offseason and a couple of weeks to game plan. And so to me, it was just about trying to get started in those first couple games.
Right.
You know, because to me, the seasons where I had a good first game, I had a good season. Seasons where I didn't have a good first game, I really didn't have a good season.
Right. It's crazy to think, but like, it's something about how you feel after the first couple of weeks that, yeah, I'm right on. I got everything going. Let's just keep it going. Whereas if you struggle the first couple of weeks, now you're searching.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? Oh. Is it the blocking? Is it the plays?
That's the worst feeling,
right,
man. That's the worst feeling.
Well, you ain't never been 3-13. So
I have been 3-13. My rookie year.
With the Saints?
With the Saints, we were 3-13. Well, and it was my fault, right? Because they spent all the picks.
Yeah, I
was hurt. So it was my, I was 3-13 with all the weight on my shoulders.
Oh, man. My God.
Hey, I lost more games my rookie year than I lost in high school and college put together.
Wow.
It's culture shock. All that losing, it's like a shock.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough. That's the worst thing. That's the thing I was saying about coaching. It's like, I love to help the kids and share what I know, but the ups and downs of winning and losing, I said, if I ain't the head coach, I ain't doing it. You know, I said, at least if I'm the head coach, I can steer it. But if I ain't, and I gotta go through that feeling of coming back to the facility on that, after like the third loss in a row, and everything is just so heavy and everybody's so depressed. And coaches are pressing and trying to do all this crazy stuff to try to switch. Man, that is no fun.
Ricky, what have you made of Tua? Seemed a lot more vocal and confident this off season. What do you make of that? Do you think that's league success, really, really big contract that backs you up? Do you think that's just growing up and maturing because he's a dad and all that stuff? Like, all his teammates have talked about, hey, this guy seems more vocal, more comfortable in his skin. He apparently had some big halftime chew out of the team that turned things around this week. What do you think is the secret sauce of that?
Yeah, I think one thing that sometimes people lose sight of in the NFL is that young men enter the NFL as young men. And if they have a decent career, they leave as grown men, you know, and it's a process. And it happened like that. It's a process, you know, and I think supporting anything growing and maturing into what it needs to be, it needs a healthy environment. And I think he's in a healthy environment, and he comes from he's a good kid, you know, and he comes from a good family. So we're seeing him grow up. And part of the next step in his leadership is becoming more vocal. And the one thing that I always look at, especially at young quarterbacks, is the change they make, the growth they make from one year to the next, right? Fans don't realize the hours and the reps that we put in, right? And if someone is not getting better, right, there's something wrong, right? And I think this is a great example of someone who is using all of the support he has in his environment that he's receiving to really grow and mature. And this is like what I love about the potential of the NFL is to see young men become grown men.
Yeah. When did you I keep trying to explain to him that your body in the first 2 or 3 years in the NFL goes through like a transformation. You might be a little pudgy when you come in, and then you kind of get your man body after like the third or fourth year. And I show him pictures all the time, and they comment from year to year on players. And I'm like, he ain't got his man body yet. Just relax. He's a kid. And so Tua, you know, he came in with a busted up hip. Then he tried to rehab that. Then he tried to put a little weight on. They say he want to put a little weight on so he could be a little more sturdy. Then he looked chunky. And now he kind of looks fit. I'm like, yeah, he's getting his man body. And they just like, like, how long? Because I got mine after my fourth year where I just looked trim and I didn't necessarily weigh any less, but I just was built a little better.
Yeah, I mean, that's real. That's real. Because it is different. And I think some people do it easier than others, but it is a different game. College and the NFL is a different game. And I think it takes a minute for their body to make that adjustment and a different lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. You hear that, Tobin?
What?
So I quit eating cheeseburgers at 12 o'clock in the dorm. And I ate a couple more salads, and worked out, and got some sleep. And all those things, and I got my man body.
I didn't even care about his body this year. I was just bummed that he stopped taking jujitsu, and then I was happy on the broadcast they said he was back taking jujitsu because I like the idea of Tua and a gi doing rolls. I think it's cool that the quarterback does jujitsu. I just like it. It makes me happy. I just think it's an interesting thing to do. Like, and plus, you know, if a linebacker, he can sneak in like a guillotine choke or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I just like that he made an effort to address the issue, you know. Right.
Ricky,
we don't give guys a chance to grow. Like exactly. Some, there's a lot of players that come into the league and after 2 years, we call them a bum, or we don't even consider what about their situation. And sometimes teams bring you in thinking you can play a certain way, and you really can't. And it's not your fault that they brought you in, draft you in the first or second round thinking you could do that. And now your whole career is wasted because they made a decision on your career that you couldn't make.
It's real. Yep. I've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Always appreciate your time, Ricky. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, always fun. Thank you.